You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
All right, boys and girls, here we go. Welcome to Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and your smart speaker alongside the great Bart Scott. My name is Joe Fortenball, filling in for Alan Hahn. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Be a part of the Barton Hahn Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. College football bowl season is here, and the fans are hyped. Return the glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. No time to waste. This is an NFL Monday, so it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Much, very, very much was decided in the NFL's playoff picture yesterday. Only two divisions remain up for grabs. That would be the AFC East and the NFC West. And just seven teams remain alive for the final three playoff spots. What do we make of everything that's been taking place? Yesterday, the big showdown took place in the AFC as the Cincinnati Bengals, 3.5-point underdogs, defeated the Kansas City Chiefs 34-31, clinching the AFC North. Here's Cincinnati head coach Zach Taylor on the victory.
You know, just really proud.
Why is this moment so emotional for you?
Well, I think you guys have just sat in here and seen what we've been through, you know?
It's no Mark crying Scott. In football. Isn't no crying in football?
Not exactly loquacious. I'm not sure if you're going to win an election words.
I love this, using them big words, man. Let me pull up my thesaurus, loquacious. I tell you what, man. Listen, Zach Taylor, I don't know, Joe Burrow, inspired by the criticism that I had for him saying that the Ravens were going to get retribution, his consequences to his little smug face. But I tell you what, I have to tip my hat to him. Ja'Marr Chase is unstoppable, definitely the rookie of the year. Arguably, you know, could probably be an all-pro this year when you look at what he's done. I know Justin Jefferson has had an outstanding season as well. But listen, this guy had a case of the dropsies, but now I guess – maybe this starts a trend. Maybe this starts a trend when quarterbacks come in and they have a guy that they have synergy with. We talk about the nonverbal communication, the synergy that Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers has. Maybe it's something to these quarterbacks coming in 1 year and then saying, hey, forget getting me protection. Go get me my favorite weapon that I know how I think and know I know exactly where he's going to be because – Kansas City, I have no idea. Why aren't you rolling coverage to this man? Why aren't you doubling this man? Why wouldn't you die death by 1,000 paper cuts? And now Kansas City has put themselves in a position where they have to play week one. Ooh, Andy, hamburgers don't taste too good this week.
Ja'Marr Chase, rookie wide receiver at LSU, 11 grabs for 266 yards and 3 touchdowns. You played high-level defense for a long time. Explain something to me. Because a guy like me sits on the couch watching this game going, why isn't the defense doing anything to slow this guy down? Why aren't you moving 2 or 3 defenders over there to figure something else out? How does he get wide open that frequently throughout the entire course of the game?
Because defensive coordinators are arrogant, right? And you talk about arrogance. Arrogance is going cover one when you can see that you need to call backup. You need to call the A-team. You got a problem. This guy is destroying. Listen, not just one 50-plus yard touchdown, two. And, I mean, he's killing you, and clearly your defensive backs need help. But no, this is our system. No! Make somebody else beat you. T. Higgins has to beat me. Ty Boyd has to beat me. Joe Mixon has to beat me. This guy has proven to you that he can put points on the board. And Kansas City typically up 2 scores is barbecue chicken. Right before the half, you got Tyreek Hill, who misses the alley-oop. He jumps too early. Ball hits him in the chest on like an 80-yard bomb. And that was the turning point. One team made the plays when they needed to, and the others didn't. And, you know, listen, Zach Taylor, I'm teasing him because he's emotional. We've been through a lot, blah, blah, blah. But he still hasn't defeated the curse. And the curse is, I've come into the NFL in 2002. Marvin Lewis was there. And I've seen this act from the Bengals before. And the act was Chad Ochocinco, TJ Who's Your Mama, and Chris Henry. And I've seen him come in, and maybe Zach Taylor's different. Maybe Joe Burrow's different. We heard Carson Palmer. Do not go to the Bengals. I repeat, do not go to the Bengals. But little baby Macaulay Culkin said, you know what? I will reverse the curse. And so far he has. In 2 years, short order, like nobody had the Bengals win his division. And I know a lot of things happen, you know, for that to be true, right? Lamar Action Jackson, you know, losing, what, four straight now? One game loss. Baker Mayfield becoming Baker Mayfield. Maybe he needs to switch from Progressive. I know we're sponsored by Progressive, but I don't know, man. Maybe Progressive don't want to rock with a loser anymore. Maybe he needs to go over there to the General, something like that, because he's not representing Progressive well. Joe Burrow stepped up. And listen, this was a team that has had early success, and we were all on them. Then we were off. Then we're back on. Now we're off. Now we're back on. And now Joe Burrow, who has come into this league and has played at a high level, has pushed himself into the MVP conversation. I see he's made the list. I don't get it. I don't understand it, Joe. But it's true.
The Bengals threw for like 10,000 yards against Kansas City yesterday.
Well, so everybody, why, man, it's Kansas City defense. It's like, yeah.
The Bengals clinched the NFC North yesterday. They entered the season with 25-1 odds to win the division.
Did you bet it, Joe? Did you bet it?
I did not. No, I did not. I liked them to take a step forward this year. I didn't bet it to that extent. They are the second biggest divisional long shots to win a division in the last decade. The only team that was a bigger long shot, the 2015 Washington football team, was 35-1. So the Bengals getting something rare done there. He's Bart Scott. I'm Joe Fortenball. This is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. Field Yates joining us here as well. Field, help me out with something because I was just about to ask Bart this. Late in the game, Burrow and the Bengals are putting together a really lengthy drive to go down and win. If you're Andy Reid and the Chiefs, how come you don't let the Bengals score so you can leave more time on the clock for your $500 million quarterback to possibly take you down the field to win the game?
Yeah, it's actually a fair question here, Joe. But I will say this. My retort would be that it was basically a perfect storm of circumstances, all going in the Bengals' favor and going against the Chiefs, that allowed the Bengals to take the clock down to the very final seconds of the game. Like, think about all the things that had to work out for Cincinnati in order for them to get to that point. They had the ball with over 2 minutes to go, first and goal from the 2-yard line. Now, they could have easily scored on any of their first two plays after that. They did not, so they end up forcing the Chiefs to call their timeouts, and they move past the 2-minute warning. And then on fourth and goal, on two separate occasions, the first time the Chiefs are called for a penalty, which is offset by a Bengals penalty. The second time, the Chiefs are called for a penalty, and it's a penalty that results in not just yardage, which at that point, who cares? You're on the 6-inch line. You only move 3 inches closer. It results in a fresh set of downs. So I actually was okay with Andy Reid hoping his defense could either get a stop or hold them to a field goal and they could have a minute and 5 seconds to go, because with Patrick Mahomes and a really good kicker, like, that's still within play. But I think going back on it, like, you know, I think if the Chiefs could do it all over again, clearly they'd say, you know what? Screw it. Like, let him score. Go up right now, 38-31, and we'll take our odds with a minute 50 left to go in the game, one timeout, and the chance to score 7 points.
Bart, what are you doing if your HC is telling you to let the offense score?
If he's saying let him score, then I score, because I know I got Patrick, my homeboy, over there, and he's going to get the Stretty Betty price. You know what I mean? Because he's usually right on that, and if I got to depend on my defense, that, you know, is much improved, but as at the beginning of the season was probably one of the worst defenses in the league, you know, I'm going to bet on Patrick, my homeboy. You know, how ironic is this, right? Because, you know, you talk about going against teams in the postseason that you've gone against in the regular season. And usually the surprise is now Kansas City understands what it's like to play against the Bengals. And what I love about the postseason is you have some of that information that you have, and it's about game plans, right? Sometimes the best games are when you have no idea about the opponent. You've seen them, you've heard about them, but you didn't play against them. So you really don't know, like, the intricate details, the intimate details about some of their personnel and who does certain things great. I can remember when we went against this Cincinnati Bengals team when they won the division in 2009, and we had a guy named Brad Smith. And to everybody outside the world, you look at Brad Smith, he's a former quarterback. Who is he? What is he? What he was the big game playmaker for us. He was the special nuance guy, right? And, you know, he not only took a kickoff back for a touchdown, but he also threw one too because he's a former quarterback. So I wonder what Kansas City uses as far as information when they're going to see him. And how ironic, like, how it matches up that now Tennessee may get the opportunity to let King Henry get healthy with the bye. He's already practicing with the team. And I thought Foreman's done a great job in being that physical presence running downhill. So now you get that beast. And the postseason is going to be great because I look at the AFC, I look at the NFC, and San Francisco and Indianapolis are two of the most dangerous teams in the world. But I don't know who I trust more, Carson Wentz or Jimmy G.
Maybe the answer is neither, right?
Garoppolo. Would it even be Garoppolo?
I mean, Trey Lance didn't. I mean, it was tough sledding for a minute. With I mean, I think I'd give him a package. Maybe I don't know. You know, listen, heartbeats get real slow. Get real. Listen, the postseason is something totally different. That's why I'm laughing at Burrow, and he thinks it's a cakewalk, and maybe it is, but it's gonna get different when you get in that postseason. And I don't know if things were to end the way that they are now. I mean, you got. Herbert going against Kansas City for the third time. That's an interesting little nugget, man, because I think that they should have won twice. And, man, you talk about now the defending – well, not defending champions, but, you know, the AFC representation, the representative last year is going to be going against potentially somebody within their division for the third time. Those are always special games.
Doesn't it feel like one of the themes this year, definitely in the AFC and maybe also in the NFC, is that there's no team – that the rest of the playoff field fears? Like, do you think Cincinnati or Los Angeles or Buffalo, if they have to go to Kansas City in a second-round game, is thinking to themselves, I don't know, man, like, this is the Chiefs. Like, certainly the Chiefs are very, very good. They won 8 straight games for a reason. They played much more balanced defense and offense during that 8-game stretch. But after yesterday, don't you think every single team is probably going into the playoffs thinking to themselves, our best is better than anybody else's best? And I'm sure that obviously isn't the case. There's only one team can win. But it feels like the playoffs are more wide open than ever. We saw it in a couple different levels yesterday. The Chiefs losing to the Bengals. Beyond that, the fact that the Raiders get a huge win over the Colts. The Colts, who felt like the team that was not going to lose until someone found a way to slow down Jonathan Taylor. Yeah. He had 108 yards and a touchdown yesterday. It didn't matter. Everybody has an Achilles heel, and it feels like those Achilles heels are more pronounced than we've seen in the past couple of years, where it just sort of felt like an inevitability. It was going to be Kansas City in the AFC. It was just a matter of who they were playing in the NFC.
See, Eastfield Yates, yeah. Alongside Bart Scott, I'm Joe Fortenball. This is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. Bart, go ahead. I mean, like, Field has a great point there, but if you're betting right now to win the AFC, who are you taking? Are you willing to go down the list and take a long shot like the Chargers?
No, not at all. And listen, I'm a guy that went in as a sixth seed with two rookie quarterbacks and was able to get over the hump and go to the AFC Championship 3 years in a row. I look at this field, and I just know it's certain things that you can count on when you get in the postseason. And if you got a defense and a run game, you can count on that. If you can run the ball, you can run the ball on anybody. Now, you may not have a great day, but you talk about in the playoffs – I tell you what, man, those games go so fast. You look up and you start panicking because you're looking up and you're like, oh, we're down and we're in the third quarter, right? And funny things happen. And you talk about, you know, some of these teams we think about, well, I guess the only team that really matches what I'm saying is the Chargers. One of these warm weather teams coming to one of these bad games and you're not built that way, right? You know, you look at Buffalo, they're built a certain way. Kansas City is built a certain way. The Bengals play and practice outside. Cheapest organization in the history of football. Still haven't built an indoor practice facility for their team because they never expect to really be playing in January. And you got the Titans, which is built for ground and pound type of football, which is something you can't prepare for because everybody is hurt. Everybody is injured. Nobody's fresh. Oh, wait. Derrick Henry's coming back fresh. Trouble alert. Trouble alert. This dude's coming back with fresh legs. If he's healthy, he's coming back rested because he was on pace to have more carries probably than DeMarco Murray had when Dallas ran him through the ground. Right? So now he comes back healthy and fresh. And, man, stand in front of that big man motivated and they get a bye. If they get the bye, finally, right? We talk about also new people to the party. You know, and I know I'm AFC heavy because I played in the AFC for a long time because I think that we have distinct favorites in the NFC. I think we kind of know that it's Green Bay and everybody else, especially excuse me, with Tampa Bay, and we'll get to them now because I think without Antonio Brown, I mean, I don't know if I look at them the same way. But over that in the AFC, you got the familiar faces, right? Everybody there has, for the most part, has scar tissue. You know, the Colts have scar tissue. The Bengals have been knocking on the Bills have been knocking on the door. Kansas City has the pain of losing the Super Bowl last year. And you got Tennessee that's been kicking on the door and just been, they remind me of the Bad Boys Pistons, right? They play an ugly brand of football with a quarterback that's a retread. And they're like the misfits, right? The forgotten squad. And they're right there, and this may be the time where that brand of football, with the field being an even playing field this year, may be the opportunity that they've been waiting for the last couple of years to get to the AFC Championship and potentially the Super Bowl.
That's Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Bart hit on it. The situation with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers yesterday that unfolded in New York. The Bucs come back to beat the Jets 28-24, but that's like the fourth level to the story when you touch on what happened during that game as wide receiver Antonio Brown in a very unique situation strips off his pads, his helmet, throws it on the sideline during the game, walks off the field through the end zone, posing for the fans, leaves the stadium, apparently takes an Uber to the airport and leaves on his own. Bruce Arians, the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, had this to say about Brown after the game.
Can you tell us what happened to Antonio Brown? Did he quit? I've never seen a guy leave a field like that. And is this the last strike for him?
He is no longer a Buck. All right, that's the end of the story. Let's talk about the guys that went out there and won the game.
Field, I feel like Bruce Arians is mincing words there. Or yeah. Was he directing your opinion?
Yeah. Wait, by the way, Joe, can you just like rewind this for a second? And like just imagine that somebody had been, I don't know, like camping for the past 24 hours. And they had just come back to technology and the ability to listen to the radio. And they heard you describing what Antonio Brown did yesterday during a game at MetLife Stadium. Ripped off his pads and was pumping up the crowd, like doing jumping jacks through the end zone, shirtless. Like, that's got to be one of the most literally unbelievable stories that we have ever seen on the football field. And yes, you're right. Bruce Arians made it clear right after the game he is no longer a Buck. And that begs a lot of questions, one of which is whether we'll ever see Antonio Brown play a game again. There is a lot to this story. I mean, it's truly unbelievable in so many ways. But Antonio Brown seemed to have just lost himself in the middle of an NFL game, Bart. Like, the closest thing that I can compare this to, and I don't even know if it's comparable, is Vontae Davis decided to retire at halftime for the Buffalo Bills a few years ago, right? But, like, at least, hey, we're at halftime. I'm letting my coaches and my teammates know I'm out. Now, I'm not saying that, like, deserves some, like, badge of honor for retiring at halftime, but it's slightly different and perhaps a tiny bit more manageable than a guy storming out after his own teammate Mike Evans was on the sideline imploring him, dude, don't rip your shoulder pads and your jersey
off.
Up quit on his team in the middle of the game. Now, it's clear this to me was a cry for help, right? I mean, Antonio Brown is down in the deep and dark place right now. That much is clear. I've just never seen anything like it. And now I really, truly wonder, and I know that I've wondered this in the past, and he has got second and third and fourth chances. I wonder if we'll ever see Antonio Brown on a football field again.
No, I don't think so. And listen, we always lean in. I feel like Brady was alluding to it. This guy needs help,
yep.
Right? And he was trying to do it without trying to not embarrass Antonio Brown. But you know you have to be having some type of mental episode. And we always go back to the Vontaze Burfict kick and the change in his behavior. And we've seen so many current players, you know, whether it's, you know, I don't want to go with Zach Stacy, but well, the gentleman from the 49ers that, you know, killed himself and they examined his brain and said he was in stage 4 of CTE. And that's a real thing. And, you know, we kind of laugh about it, but, you know, it obviously has to be something. You got to have a lot of nerve to to just be coming back off suspension off a vaccination card and come back and be any type of distraction. And the only reason that he's had a fourth and fifth and sixth opportunity is because Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, stood on the table for him and said, hey, I want him. You don't think Bruce Arians did his research and his due diligence after probably coaching Antonio Brown in Pittsburgh and still having a relationship, knowing that, hey, this dude is crazy. He's a distraction. You talk about all his transgressions. But like we say all the time, production breeds tolerance. Mm. And we can circle back to this. I know we got our hard is out. And, Joe, I know you got to go. I appreciate, you know, everything that you've done for us. I appreciate you footprints carrying us while Allen is – I don't know what the hell Allen is.
Well, I appreciate that, Mark. Thank you very much. Great points made all the way around. Last night, Sunday Night Football, the Packers blow out the Minnesota Vikings and clinch home field in the NFC. So which NFC team has a chance to go into Lambeau this postseason and score a win? That's coming up next. He's Field Yates, Bart Scott, Joe Fortenbaugh. But first, here's Bart with a message on Granger.
Oh, yeah. And for everybody here that heard me choking and stuff, listen, I'm chewing my protein shake, and the chia seeds sometimes go where they want to go. So I don't know what to tell you guys. But for all the ones who get it done, Granger is always there to help. Granger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, 24/7 support, free access to products, specialists, and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people even safer. Call Granger. Click Granger.com or stop on by. Back after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Han.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Bart and Han.
Christine Lisi with a developing story from the NBA. The Nets are preparing for guard Kyrie Irving to make his season debut against the Pacers on Wednesday night. According to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, Irving can't play in home games because he hasn't yet complied with the COVID-19 vaccine mandate in New York City. Monday Night Football features the Steelers hosting the Browns, 8 Eastern ESPN TV, with Peyton and Eli Manning on the Manning cast on ESPN2. Pittsburgh quarterback Ben Roethlisberger's hinted tonight could be the final home regular season game of his career. ESPN's FPI gives the Steelers a 4% chance of making the playoffs. To finish off the NFL's first 17-game season, the Chargers and Raiders game was flexed from daytime to primetime on Sunday night. Both teams 9-7 in the matchup's winner advances to the playoffs. For more on these stories, tune in to the 6 Eastern Sports Center on ESPN2.
Aaron Rodgers is the original Patrick Mahomes.
We can't take watching greatness for granted.
Aaron Rodgers, MVP, all that is great. It's like this big drama series just to lose an NFC championship.
Back on Barton Hahn and ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and your smart speaker. Barton Hahn is on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. And guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Bart is here. He always is. I am Field Yates, filling in for Alan, who was there this morning, filling in for Max on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. And it's,
we like the rest of the world, right? Everybody just helping out. Plug
it's
and play.
Chairs, right? It's like you never know who you're going to get from one day to the next, one show to the next here on ESPN Radio. Here, that's right. Hey, try the $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless with nationwide 5G on America's best network. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. Today is a day for doing, and the Packers got it done, Bart Scott, as the NFC playoffs will go through Green Bay. They took care of business last night, beating the Sean Mannion-led Vikings. Not exactly a massive challenge for Green Bay, which means that they now have clinched home field advantage throughout the playoffs in the NFC. If there is a game to be played by the Packers in the playoffs, they are playing it at Lambeau Field, which I think begs this question. Is there a team capable of going to Lambeau Field and beating the Green Bay Packers, who own the best record in the NFL at 12-3, and will have to go to beat Green Bay in the potentially very, very cold, frozen tundra of Lambeau Field?
We've seen this movie before, right? Like, this isn't the frozen tundra of yesteryear, right? We just watched last year. We watched Terrific Tom go to Green Bay and not have a problem. I think he ate some cheese curds at halftime. Nobody in this league is invincible. The parity in this league is tremendous. And I can see Tom Brady still going in there and figuring out a way to get it done. I can also see a team like the Dallas Cowboys. Even though we're down on them, they have enough people, a guy like Michael Parsons, to be able to deal with, you know, Dylan and Aaron Jones out in the passing game, being able to, you know, the outstanding linebacker core. And listen, I'm not as sold on this Green Bay defense as everybody else is. And I feel like they've really been able to benefit from the fact that they haven't had to really go against great outfits, right? And, you know, that's what the playoffs is all about, because you're going against people that may not be your equal, but they have special players and they have depth and they have great coaching. And, you know, I don't know if little baby Yoda can go in there, but I tell you what, with all the weapons of DeAndre Hopkins coming back in the way that Chandler Jones has just destroyed Tyron Smith, you know, A-Ron may not have or be afforded all that time to sit there and burp the baby all the time. So, listen, anybody can get got in these playoffs. This year is a different year, and I can't wait for it to start. I tell you who they don't want to see. They don't want to see the San Francisco 49ers, because they can run the ball on anybody in that style, that brand of football, and they're the only team in the NFC that pose those issues.
The 49ers, by the way, have to win next week or potentially get some help elsewhere to clinch their playoff spot, but they certainly have a compelling and a good case to get to the playoffs. They slow the game down so much, Bart. I want to talk about the Cardinals and the Cowboys, two teams that you mentioned could go to Lambeau and beat the Packers in just 1 second. But there are five players that Green Bay does not currently have due to injury or being on the COVID-19 list, and they're pretty notable names. You've got David Bakhtiari, their starting left tackle, one of the best in the NFL. You've got Jaire Alexander, an excellent young cornerback. Mm-hmm. You've got Za'Darius Smith, an excellent pass rusher. Those are amongst those names they could get back at some point here soon. Randall Cobb as well, their trusted wide receiver. Would that change your perception of their defense if they had Za'Darius Smith and Jaire Alexander healthy and on the field when the playoffs began?
No. I mean, I think that's added depth. But I just think that, listen, everybody got people. Everybody's deep. Mm. I mean, what if J.J. Watt and DeAndre Hopkins come back for the postseason? Right? Everybody waiting for people. Right? And I just think, you know, styles make fights. And certain styles are just bad for certain brands of football. And certain teams are wishing that they don't get matched up against certain people because they understand that it's difficult. Yeah, can any team beat any team? Yeah, but it's always that team that hit their style just makes you play the way that you don't really like to play. You have to play like with your counter. You got to be a counter puncher. And, you know, I think Dallas can get it together. What frustrates me with Dallas is they're one of these teams that can give you a great performance and then give you a dud the next week.
They are so inconsistent.
So inconsistent.
So inconsistent week in and week out. That was brought to you by the Home Depot. With everything you need to do, project smarter, faster, and easier. Welcome to today's Home Depot, how doers get more done. So let's spin to that game. So the Cowboys fall at home to the Arizona Cardinals, a game that Arizona controlled for much of that game, Bart. Kyler Murray was good when it mattered most. There was a controversial call at the end of the game in which Chase Edmonds appeared to have fumbled, but because the Cowboys were out of timeouts, they could not challenge the
ruling on
the
field. Why were they out of timeouts?
Oh, because Mike McCarthy and clock management go together like oil and water, right? I mean, every single year we're talking about this in high-leverage spots, none more so than what we saw yesterday from the Dallas Cowboys head coach, who just cannot seem to figure it out, like always save save one for yourself, especially when you are playing from behind and need those in your back pocket. But you just said you think the Cowboys and Cardinals can both go and win in Green Bay. The big issue for the Cowboys, though, is consistency, right? Mm-hmm. 7 days ago, we woke up on Monday morning and the Cowboys had just throttled the Washington football team. Why can't they put it together week in and week out? What is it about this team that's bothering them?
Because certain things, certain sins you can't get away with against good opponents. And you can get away with a lot of stuff. Hell, the Washington football team was fighting each other on the sideline, let alone worrying about how they're going to focus and beat the Cowboys, right? And also playing a team that you play a lot. You understand their personnel. I talk about this all the time. You know the nuance. You know conceptually what they like to do. And everybody knows conceptually what they like to do because you're breaking this opponent down over and over and over again. But when you go against teams like the Cardinals that you really don't understand the speed of Kyler Murray, you don't understand. I mean, listen, Diggs is one of these guys, man. And listen, I know everybody want to say, hey, he's having a great year, right? But it's a lot of guessing going on out there, man. You can't guess in the postseason, right? I tell people all the time, he reminds me of Delta O'Neal. Mm. And for people out there that don't know who Delta O'Neal is, Delta O'Neal giveth and Delta O'Neal taketh away. He's a guy that can give you 10 picks, but he goes, okay, the closest thing to Delta O'Neal we have in the league right now is Marcus Peters. He's going to believe his eyes, and he's going to be aggressive. He's going to jump something. But for every five he jumped right, it's going to be two that he jumps wrong. And yesterday, Diggs guessed wrong, and A.J. Green, Father Time himself, got behind him and made a big play. Yeah. And that's the thing, right? Can this team lock in? Because you have to go into Joe Flacco mode, right? And for people who don't know, Joe Flacco came in, and he locked in for the postseason, played better than he's ever played in his life. Right, we've seen that happen with Eli Manning when they get in as a sixth seed. Like you, it's going to be somebody that locks in and stays locked in and play at such a high level. And I just say that Dallas Cowboys has enough stars. And listen, Jerry Jones for years haven't been getting the right return on his investment. Zeke Elliott, a lot of money. We talk about Amari Cooper, talented, yes. He's not even the number one receiver on this team to me anymore. I think this is CeeDee Lamb's team to go. They spend a lot of money, and if they go one and done, we will never care about the Cowboys ever again. We don't want to hear anything about the Cowboys ever. Listen, ever again. Ever again.
Well, Jerry may tell us we have to care about them. As you know, Bart, that even if they fade out in the first round of the playoffs, they're going to have 12 primetime games next year somehow, which is not even allowed, but they're still going to find a way to play on Sunday or Monday Night Football 12 times next year because them are the rules. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $700 on average. That's good money right there to save. So we talked about the NFC, but tonight there is a big Monday Night Football matchup. And could it be the end of an era for a Steelers great? And is there one last playoff push for Big Ben? More on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Bart and Han.
We're back here on Bart and Han on ESPN Plus. Field Yates filling in for Alan Han. Of course, Bart Scott is always here because he locks the show down 5 days a week. So, Bart, we are now with just 1 week left in the NFL regular season as things presently stand. 11 of the 14 playoff spots have been clinched, which means there are three yet to be determined. I'm not much of a math guy, but I have figured out that seven NFL teams are still alive for three spots. as you look at the Week 18 schedule and you look at what each of these teams needs to get into the postseason, which three teams do you believe are most likely to take up those final three spots?
We talk about the bubble boys.
Okay.
Right? You got the Raiders playing the Chargers. I think I like the Chargers in this one. I just think the playoffs are better with the Chargers in. I don't think that the Steelers are a contender at all. Okay. I think possibly they lose tonight. I mean,
wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. And trying to think who else.
So the Colts have the most direct path. I guess there are two teams that have really direct paths, right? So first of all, someone between the Raiders and the Chargers has to go. One of those teams goes, one of those teams misses the playoffs. So I guess one way to start this would just be, who do you think wins that game on Sunday night? The Chargers or the Raiders? The Raiders are playing at home, if that's worth anything to you.
No, I don't think they've established a home field advantage right now. Right now, they're kind of like the Chargers, right? The Chargers are just a guest in their own home until they solidify, you know, that. And that's going to take a couple of years as they grow their fan base in Los Angeles. And the same can be true about the Raiders in Vegas. So I think it's what team do you believe more in? What quarterback do you believe in more? And I just think that Justin Herbert has the ability to be a little bit more special than Derek Carr. Mm. And, you know, I think finally all the issues that have, you know, occurred, you know, for Oakland this year, I think it's just too much. So I think I'm going to go with the Chargers, even though I don't believe in their defense and their ability to finish because they always find ways to lose.
Yep.
I just think Justin Herbert is special. I think Carr is good. But I think special wins out against good.
Okay, so I'll go with the Chargers as well because I feel like it's pretty simple for me. I'm following the same logic as you. Like, I just trust Justin Herbert much more than I do not just Derek Carr, but really the entire Raiders roster. Their defense has been inconsistent this year. They get good pass rush, but sometimes they're more vulnerable at the linebacker spot. And on offense, some weeks better than others. And right now I have my concerns about them facing off against the Chargers. I think the Colts are in too, right? I mean, the Colts, all they have to do is just beat the Houston Texans next week. No, Jacksonville Jaguars next week. They're the same team, though, right? I mean, the Jaguars are worse than the Texans, but it's not like either team is particularly formidable. You agree with me on the Colts winning their game?
No, absolutely. Okay, so there's two. Barbecue chicken. Jonathan Taylor's going to get her done.
That's right. And the third one is the NFC team. If the 49ers win, they're in. If they lose and the Saints win over the Falcons, the Saints are in. So can the 49ers upset the Los Angeles Rams again, or do you think that the Saints could sneak in the back door of the NFC playoff picture? How about that?
I mean, who's playing quarterback? Who's on third? Like, it's like one of those things, right? I tell you who don't want the Saints to get in. It's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They do not want to see them. They don't care. If Sean Payton decides to play quarterback, they don't want that smoke. I think the 49ers get her done. Okay. I just believe in their run game, their defense. Bosa's playing good this year. I'm going to go with the 49ers.
Man, I got to tell you what. Like, I want to see any team that makes the playoffs make it, but the Saints with no quarterback would be a tough, tough sell. Interesting stuff there. More to come here on ESPN+.
Big Ben should retire. Like, go back in and say, man, I quit.
I will say that this news did not surprise me, that Big Ben is mulling his retirement, thinking about, you know, the end of his career. The guy's 39 years old.
Monday Night Football Preview is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. We're back here on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. Field filling in for Alan Hahn. And Bart, you played against Ben Roethlisberger for a long time. I feel like when you think about Ben Roethlisberger and playing against him, like, what's your memories of him? Do you feel like it's, like, do you remember the times that you owned him on the field? Or do you think about him, like, reverentially? Like, hey, that guy's a great player that we had a lot of tough battles against.
Well, I think that he's a great player that doesn't get the respect that he deserves. I think, like, you know, most things you won't appreciate what he was to this league until he's gone. I think he was built in the same mold as Aaron McNair. When I talk about a guy that was willing to take the physical punishment, look down the barrel of the gun, still take the hit, I can remember some of those games that we've had. I thought I killed him on a couple of hits. I can remember Haloti Ngata, I believe, hand going through the face mask and breaking his nose, and his nose was looking like an S, and all he did was put tissue in it. I think about the countless injuries in which he's endured and come back. He's like the Michael Myers of football, but much like the last Halloween, Michael Myers eventually has to go and die in five of time is undefeated. But when you think about that class of Phillip Rivers, J.P. Lossman, I believe, and Eli Manning, to me, I think he's the best out of the bunch, and that's saying a lot because three of them are going to go to the Hall of Fame. I think he's the best out of the three, and you talk about Eli Manning for all the people that listen here in the New York area. You can say whatever you want about you know, okay, Eli beat the greatest quarterback of all time in Tom Brady and all that stuff. But I tell you what, you know, I think we beating Aaron Rodgers ain't no slouch either. But also, I think when you talk about, you know, the fact that in between those times, he's always had the Steelers in the playoffs every single year, except for maybe a couple, and Eli hasn't. So that's the tiebreaker to me. The fact that Ben Roethlisberger always had his team as a viable, legitimate threat. The fact that he was always productive, no matter if it was Todd Haley, no matter if it was Bruce Arians, the current coordinator that he has now. He's probably had four or five coordinators, but the numbers and the productivity remains the same.
Yeah, he has been very much a stalwart for nearly 20 years in Pittsburgh. As you know, he has played through a million different injuries. There have been a lot of different highs, some lows for Ben Roethlisberger as well. But this much seems clear. It is likely his final home game ever at Heinz Field, as the Steelers need to win both of their final two games and get a bunch of help to make the playoffs this year. Put it this way, they have a low, low probability of making the postseason, and all indications are this is Ben's final year in the NFL. Let's talk about this game a little bit, though, Bart, because they play the Browns, a team that was eliminated from the playoffs yesterday. As you look back on the Browns season, and I know the Browns fans are probably sick of hearing this because they've won this award in previous years before. Is there a team that was more disappointing this year than the Cleveland Browns in the NFL?
No.
And they're right at the top of the list, right?
Phil, I'm on record. Week one, saying that the Browns will not win the Super Bowl. It is certain teams and organizations that can't handle success. And I watched them because I was in that division for a long time. And I remember the Derek Anderson, Braylon Edwards, Joshua Cribbs era.
Man.
And they won the division, or they had a great season, and they were feeling themselves in the next year. They were feeling themselves a little bit too much because this is one of the most proudest franchise and organizations. And, you know, what happens is when you are successful in Cleveland, you're treated, it may not feel like that, but you're treated like the Dallas Cowboys are when they walk around in Dallas for doing nothing. So the Browns actually did something, and they beat the big bad wolf and almost was able to beat Kansas City, but they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they were feeling themselves, and they needed some humble pie. And Baker Mayfield tried to find somebody to blame, and they blamed it on Odell Beckham, who just won a game for the Rams yesterday on a 4th-and-5 pickup and a 2-point conversion. So it shows that he's not the problem. So if it's not Odell Beckham, if it's not the defense, if it's not the personnel they brought in, then, oh, why? What could it be, Phil?
Yeah, there seems to be all kinds of problems, but the quarterback seems to be the one that most popularly bothers the Browns. It seems to be a 25-year problem for Cleveland. They've got a really interesting decision to make this offseason, because if you run it back with Baker Mayfield as your guy, Bart, I think people will go nuts, right? They may not be able to contain themselves in Cleveland because they're going to have to pay him $18 million. That's already guaranteed, but I have my doubts that Cleveland will go back into 2022 with Baker as their main guy. As far as the emotions of the game tonight, though, those would be interesting, right? I don't know. Do you recall, when you were preparing to retire, did you kind of know at the end of your final season that, like, it was going to be your final year? Or for you, what was that buildup like to your final moments in the NFL?
I did not, and I actually haven't put in my retirement papers.
So, okay.
Somebody want that smoke like when Philly got the teacher from substitute teaching, and they need four plays. I got you.
You got four plays left in you. I give you 15.
But I tell you what, you know, for me, I had total reconstruction of my toe, and injury really riddled my career, and I decided to move on. Once CBS gave me opportunity to join them, it was like one of those things where it was like, I can play one or two more years, or I can embark on a new career with a great opportunity. And it was more or less that than it was. So I didn't have an opportunity to really soak everything in, to look up and enjoy the journey and let everybody know this is my last year. And I don't know if Ben has accepted that himself. I know he says maybe this is the last year he's going to be a Steeler, but he didn't say he was retiring. And we saw Phillip Rivers, when he was done, find somebody to fall for the banana in the tailpipe. So who knows? Maybe Sean Payton falls for the banana in the tailpipe, you know, because it's going to be some guys looking for somebody. And it's people with worse quarterbacks than Ben Roethlisberger, even though he's old as dirt.
With more than 30 unique coverage options available, Progressive knows small business. Learn more at progressive.com. Does Antonio Brown have a future in the NFL? We'll ask our guest next here on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio.